Showing up. Are you showing up? Are you showing up where you need to be showing up? And do you even know where that is? Hello, my friends. I'm Mace Haroff, and I want to welcome you to this episode of the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, which you can listen to at medicalsalesguru.com, or you could listen on iTunes by searching for the Medical Sales Guru Podcast on iTunes, or maybe if you're a visual and you like to see my lips moving as I deliver the podcast, you can watch on the Medical Sales Channel at YouTube. Just search for the Medical Sales Channel with Mace Haroff and you will find me. My initial question, are you showing up? Well, if you're in medical sales, of course you are. If you're in outside sales, then you show up at your customer's place of work or wherever they want you to show up. If you're in inside sales, then you're showing up on the telephone or via other means. But one way or another, it's important that you have regular contact with customers, with your accounts in your territory over time. You may have heard the quote that is often attributed to Woody Allen that 80% of success in life is showing up. Now, I don't know if it was Woody Allen who said that, but he did say it. I don't know if he's the originator of it, but if you think about it, there's a lot of truth to that. Think of your accounts in your territory where you are doing really well. Let me ask you this. Do they see you often? You might be thinking, well, yeah, they see me often because they're doing business with me. Well, go back to before you had their business, unless you inherited their business, which of course you can't really trace directly to how the business came about. But in any account that you developed on your own, you probably saw those prospects at the time on a regular basis. In other words, you were proactive making sales calls. Medical sales is both proactive and reactive. You're proactive when you're out there calling on your customers, getting in front of them, trying to sell your product. But you're also reactive when they notify you about an opportunity or a problem where customer service is required. There are both opportunities and crises. Either way, you'll respond to those. That's where you are being reactive. But as a result of this, especially if you have a large territory, there might be portions of the territory that you don't get to as often as you would like. You're not really calling on customers on a regular basis. Or if it is regular, the frequency of regularity is not frequent enough. Generally speaking, you have to ask yourself, how often should you be seeing each customer? And the answer to that question really is as often as possible. One of the common questions I'm asked is, how often should you call on a customer? And my answer is always, whenever you have something of significant value to bring to them, because that's really what it's all about. It's not just about going there to sell them something. It's about delivering value. And it's very important that you see your customers on a regular basis. And here's why. Your regular customers, that takes care of itself. You're going to show up because you're doing business with them. No problem. But the customers you have, the accounts that you have that are in the corners of the territory or the far reaches, you don't get to them very often for one reason or another. Maybe they haven't always been responsive to your efforts. In other words, they're not using your products or services. They haven't seemed to have shown a lot of interest in what you were talking to them about. So you don't see them as often because you sense that there's not as great an opportunity there. And you may be right. And I can promise you this. If you continue to see them sporadically, then there won't be much of an opportunity there. Here's what often happens, though. A lot of times, reps will suddenly get an RFP, a request for proposal, from one of their accounts that they don't see very often. And now, boom, that customer shows up on the radar screen. They've taken on a level of importance. You contact them. You ask questions about the RFP. You create the proposal. You deliver it to them. You send it to them. You get it in front of them. And then you're in follow-up mode. Did you look at the proposal? What are your thoughts? Where is this going? When will you be making your decision? So all of a sudden, this account, which hasn't gotten a lot of love from you in the past, suddenly you're on them like, pick your favorite metaphor or analogy. So people aren't stupid. They are very sensitive to the sales representatives they see on a regular basis, especially for those accounts which are kind of out in the sticks, the ones that many reps don't call on because it's just off the beaten path. And even at a subconscious level, people tend to want to do business with people with whom they're familiar because there is a higher level of trust. They might not trust them implicitly, but there is a higher level of trust associated with people you know and you see regularly, unless there's a negative connotation because of that, but I'm just saying generally, the more often you see someone who hasn't harmed you in some way, the more likely you are to trust them. If for no other reason, because you know that they will be in front of you regularly. When you're buying something from them, you want to know that they're going to be around to take care of you after the sale. So there's just a natural preference for people you see on a regular basis. Right then and there, there's reason to show up on a regular basis. And that's assuming, you know, the person who's seen regularly will be viewed favorably if all other things are equal. In other words, having an acceptable product and competitive pricing. Now, today, a lot of reps were in this changing healthcare environment. And it's very easy for a lot of reps to say, well, you know what? That account over there, they're on contract with a competitor. We're not even on contract. I can't do business with them. I'm not even going to bother calling on them until we're on contract. Okay. Huge mistake at a number of levels. First of all, when the contract comes up for renewal or for renegotiation or they're putting it out to bid, one of the things that those who manage the contracts look at is what is the perceived relationship with that company. In other words, if you have customers' accounts who never see you, they're not going to report very good things about you. They're not going to say that they have a good relationship with you. So that could go against getting that contract. But a lot of times it doesn't even matter. The contract is written in some city far away from you, and suddenly you find out you're on contract. Well, you might not have a sole source contract. There might be other people on there, other competitors. So again, you're not in a favorable position. They are more likely to go with someone who they've seen frequently than someone who they haven't. And if it's not a sole source contact, they may say, the hell with the contract. I never see this person. I'm going with the rep I see and who I can trust. Now, why don't medical reps get around to all their customers on a regular basis? I mean, they know they should do it. They know it makes sense. Why don't they do it? The answer that you will hear most often is, I don't have time. Or my territory is too big. And it still comes back to, I don't have time. I don't have time to, you know, take a 2-hour ride out there when most of my business is over here. I'm going to spend my time over here. I don't have time to go out there. And that may be true. But usually the problem is because the rep doesn't really know how to manage both his or her time as well as the territory. And this is a big drawback because let's face it, if you've gone through sales training, they usually don't teach you this. Your company usually doesn't teach you how to manage your time and your territory. It's assumed that adults, mature adults, and people who've been in sales know how to manage their time and work their way around the territory. The reality is it's just not true. Most people don't know how to do that. So this is one of the reasons that this is a separate thing that we address in Medical Sales Academy. I did a webinar about time and territory management for those people in Medical Sales Academy because it's so important. I do half and full day workshops on time and territory management because it's so important and most people don't have a clue how to go about it. So if this is something that you'd be interested in, please get in touch with me. We could talk about doing a half day or full day workshop for your group. You could just contact me, just look up, you know, find me at medicalsalestraining.com and contact me through the website. But what can you do right now? It's important that you call on your customers. What if they're not interested in your product? Well, here's the thing. Whether they're interested in your product or not is your fault. That's the reality. So when someone says they're not interested in my product, I'm willing to bet that that person, when they called on that account, they took a product-focused approach. And a lot of times with a product-focused approach where you're focusing on the product, if that account already has a similar product or service they're using, they're unlikely to be interested in yours unless there's a problem with the other one, or you are able to show them how your product is significantly different. And if you use a product-focused approach, you probably don't know how to do that. So figure out ways that you can engage your customers that really aren't dependent upon them buying your product or not. In other words, get in front of them and demonstrate value. Hopefully you know something that they don't know. Hopefully you can share something with them, educate them, provide some insight on obstacles or opportunities they don't see. Get in front of them and deliver value. And yes, when you position value, you also will uncover opportunities to position your product. But when you do it that way, when you see an opportunity and you position your product specifically to mesh with that opportunity, the value of your product or service goes up astronomically. But the thing is, you have to show up. 80% of success, whether you like Woody Allen or not, and it doesn't really matter if you're a Woody Allen fan. I don't know. Bad impression, but give me credit for at least making the shot. At least I'm showing up. 80% of success is showing up. So figure out where the problem areas are for your customers. Ask them questions to find out where they might like some help, and then figure out ways where you can deliver value to help them solve their problems. And do this on a regular basis. Even if you got to drive 2 hours over there, if you're managing your time and territory well, you will create the time to do it. And when you do that, your business will grow by default because you will have expanded your customer base to include all the accounts in your territory. I have an offer to help you. You know, a lot of times medical reps are facing challenges in their territory and they don't really ask anyone about it. They just try to plow on through it and hope that good things happen. Well, you have situations or challenges in your territory that I'd like to help you with. And in fact, there are some very common situations. So if you will take a moment to share with me your situation and your most pressing medical sales challenge, I will tell you the one thing you should do next, customized specifically for your situation. All you got to do is let me know what it is. If you'd like to do that, this will just take a minute or two. Go to medicalsalestraining.com/situation. Tell me what your challenge is, and I will direct you to some free resources that will help you respond right away. It'll tell you what you should do next. And there will even be opportunities for additional free training if you'd like to move in that direction. So medicalsalestraining.com/situation. And also, I really appreciate you being here. I hope you appreciate me sharing this information with you. And a lot of you do. A lot of you like us on YouTube, you like us on iTunes, and that means the world to me. If you could do that, just give us a like here, give us a like there, go to the Medical Sales Guru podcast on iTunes and like us or leave a comment and do the same on YouTube. I would greatly appreciate it because that's the currency. That's the motivation that keeps me doing this, that keeps me connecting with you. So I greatly appreciate it. And if you either agree or disagree with something I've said on this podcast or any podcast or video, then please share a comment on YouTube, share a comment at the Medical Sales Guru podcast site, and let's start a discussion. Maybe you're right. I might be able to learn something. You can educate me, and I would love you for doing that. So I thank you for your likes, your comments. Let's stay connected. And don't forget, as you go through your medical sales career, doesn't matter what you sell, what you do, in healthcare, there's only one thing that really matters. Well, there's a lot of things that matter, but ultimately, there's one thing that matters. And that is, you should know the answer. The patient. Nothing, my friends, is more important than the patient. It's why healthcare does what it does. Ultimately, it's why you do what you do. And if you're not looking at it that way, your sales results might change a little bit if you start. Patient always comes first. You have the opportunity to make a difference. Get going. Make one. For the Medical Sales Guru podcast and the Medical Sales channel on YouTube, my name is Mace Haroff. I hope to see you again here soon. We'll talk again. Bye for now.